Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio. This is your host, Danny, and also joining me, my co-host of the show, Paris. What's going on, man?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Good, good. I thought today was going to be, you know, kind of slow. But usually we do this, like, emergency podcast once in a while when there's, like, a big announcement. And I think this is an announcement that I think we should definitely talk about in a few minutes about. Bethesda just announced that Machine Games working on a new Indiana Jones. And we don't know the date. It just was a teaser. But there's a reason why we want to talk about this. So give us a couple seconds here. But first, head over to GamertagRadio.com. You can also listen to our past episodes. And you can find us on any podcast app. All you have to do, just search for Gamertag Radio. Follow us, subscribe, and get all the content twice a week. And yeah, get ready, man, because 2021 is going to be a crazy year when it comes to content. Also, if you would like to be part of our fan mail or fan mail segment or episode, here's how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so Paris, interesting announcement today, huh? From Bethesda. So, I mean, I know Xbox probably knew about this for a while because they're, you know, last year was announced that Xbox acquired Bethesda. So there's a lot of unannounced games that is coming out in the future for this, for the publisher, and multiple studios are there. But this is going to be a benefit, like a huge, huge thing, good thing for Xbox. So the conversation today has been, is this going to be exclusive or not? Or do you think it should be exclusive? So we had conversation, even in the last episode, we mentioned that Starfield should be exclusive. There's certain games, maybe MMOs, it makes sense to be multi-platform, right? In your opinion, and we're going to have the conversation from this, do you think this game should be exclusive? Because a lot of people bringing this up on Twitter especially, look at Spider-Man, look at a couple other games. PlayStation could do it. Why not Xbox? So let's have the conversation from there, man.
Well, I think it's important before we even get into that discussion to kind of back it up, because there was an announcement the day before that makes this relevant. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. So it was announced, I'll just say it, from Disney, that they are forming Lucasfilm Games. And that's kind of going to be just... obviously, they're not... I guess you almost want to call them a publisher in a weird way, but that's kind of just the group for all the Lucas titles will fall under now. So obviously the majority of that's going to be Star Wars, but a lot of people forget Indiana Jones is also a Lucasfilm franchise as well. So that's going to fall under it too. So that again, got announced on Monday, and a certain friend of ours that we know that is working over there started teasing about, oh, I can't wait for tomorrow. You know, some stuff like, oh, this is going to be a great day today to announce something. And then we got the Indiana Jones announcement, and it's Machine Games, and it's Bethesda. So diving into what you're talking about, what everyone is concerned, is this going to be an Xbox exclusive or not? I say no. And let me just lay out my case as to why I don't think it will be. It's pretty clear this deal was most likely done a long time ago, because it's also pretty clear bringing Lucasfilm Games, I guess how you say Lucasfilm Games back into it, they're... EA is no longer going to exclusively have the Star Wars games. It looks like other studios are going to be able to get their hands on it across the industry. So you got to think these deals were starting to get put in place, and it will not shock me to hear about more announcements of games coming from Lucasfilm Games in the near future with all these other studios making said games. So with that said, This was probably a deal that Bethesda made a while ago, similar to what they did with Deathloop, similar to what they did with Ghostwire Tokyo, etc. Right? Right. Mm-hmm. Bethesda makes Ghostwire Tokyo. I think they do. But anyways, doesn't matter. The point is, everyone's looking at the Xbox acquisition. My point is, this was made prior to that, and let's not forget, that deal is not final. Xbox has absolutely no say in the announcement that came out today. And with that said, if a deal has already been put in place, especially with something like Lucasfilm Games, why would they want to make their intellectual property console exclusive, just to Xbox, as an example? They're going to want their games everywhere. So I think this is where you're going to see, once the ink dries on the Xbox deal, this is what I think. I think it will show up on PlayStation. If they make a Switch version or whatever, it's going to show up there. Obviously, it'll be on PC. And I think the most that Xbox, quote unquote, gets exclusive out of this is it'll be on Game Pass day one. I think that's probably the best that Xbox could hope for. I know people have said, well, Xbox could renegotiate the deal and all that. But this kind of goes back to what Phil Spencer has already said, that, hey, the Bethesda stuff will be treated on a case-by-case basis. And again, this is a now, let's just fast forward to the future. This will be a Microsoft studio in Machine Games that is doing a licensed game and with a prior deal to it. I see no reason why Microsoft would push to even alter this deal. I don't think the incentive is there for them to want to alter it. If a deal's already in place that Bethesda cemented, similar to Deathloop, why change it? Mm-hmm. Go with what they're doing. Let Machine Games make the game. You can push from a marketing standpoint day one on Game Pass. People that don't want to spend $70 or $60 or whatever on another platform, there's your incentive for them to go get it on Game Pass. I think, again, when we talk about the Bethesda exclusivity stuff, we're talking homegrown Bethesda games that will wind up being exclusive to Xbox versus them licensing something out from another intellectual property. I don't think those games will be exclusive. To me, I don't think so. That's just my two cents. Again, could be wrong, but looking at it on the surface, that's just how I see it. What do you think?
I agree with you. I think this is going to be a multi-platform game. Again, similar to maybe MMO games, right? But here's the interesting part, Paris, and maybe PlayStation is just waiting until it's like official, because PlayStation hasn't retweeted this announcement.
Can I interrupt you on that?
Oh, if they did?
Because No, not that they did. Oh, yeah. Why would PlayStation want to retweet and promote the competition? Because look, for all intents and purposes, this is now coming from an Xbox studio. That's how I look at it. And again, I could be wrong. Who the frick knows? Nobody knows. We're all obviously just speculating. We just got this news today. But that, to me, the fact that you saw no branding on that announcement, we just simply don't know. It's all left up to rumor and speculation. And clearly we saw Xbox tweeting about it, and I saw Aaron Greenberg talking about it, stuff like that. But I also say this, Xbox social team is top notch. It don't shock me at all that they would jump on something like this and celebrate it and start talking about it from an Xbox point of view, because look at what's happened. This is all people are talking about. Is it exclusive? Is it going to not be exclusive? What's going to happen? So I think that's just smart marketing, you know, by the Xbox social team, if anything.
Yeah, and you know what's the crazy part too? Xbox exclusive was trending on Twitter today.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so that's free promotion from them. Even if you agree, don't agree, people are talking. I think that's the most important thing. Now, let's go with what if, because we love doing this whole what if. Now, what if this is exclusive? Then what?
Huge get. Huge get for Xbox in that sense. I don't think it will, but like you said, if that did happen, kudos to them for securing this, because like a lot of people have alluded to, Indiana Jones could potentially be their Uncharted, right? You know, obviously similar vein, Treasure Hunter, the whole thing. So I get it. If they were to do it, I just simply don't think that's going to be the case this time, but that would be huge for them, which again goes back to the conversation we had on the last episode. This is why you spend $7.5 billion to acquire that publisher and get all their intellectual property and have those games and make the majority of them exclusive to your platform. Like I said, this one's a little different because technically this is a Lucasfilm IP, a Disney IP versus being a Bethesda IP. But yeah, if they were to somehow score that'd be great for the exclusivity of what Xbox is trying to do.
I want to bring up two things that I just realized right now. One, we haven't seen an Indiana Jones game in years. I think since when? What was the last Indiana Jones game?
Was it original Xbox? Because I saw our good friend Gene Park from the Washington Post talking about that, and he even posted like box art. I think he was saying it was original Xbox was the last one.
Yeah, so that's one.
Oh, someone in chat saying Lego Indiana Jones. So I guess that's normal.
Okay, man. Okay. Yeah. I could go with that one. Now, here's another thing, though, Paris. You know, I'm not saying, look, we both agree that this is going to be multi-platform. But like I said earlier, a few minutes ago, what if, right? Remember, even though this game was crap, there was a Star Wars Kinect game that was exclusive. Because look, there is a strong relationship when it comes to Xbox and Disney. There's the 30 days free trial on Game Pass if you want to try out Disney Plus. Like I mentioned, there's the Kinect Star Wars game, which is garbage. But you know, so there is some type of relationship. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Microsoft put down a lot of money just to get either a Tom exclusive or not. It is possible. You know, I agree that this is going to be multi-platform, but dude, as of last year, I feel like there's no rules, man. Anything crazy could happen, man. You know what I'm saying?
I don't disagree. Yeah, I definitely don't disagree in that at all. Yeah. I mean, it clearly is a possibility. It won't shock me if it happened. I'm just trying to take it from the point of view that Xbox isn't even involved in this deal right now. This was a Bethesda negotiated deal, with Bethesda still being an independent publisher who put all their games on every platform. So probably when Disney, again, assumptions, when Disney approached them, it was under the assumption that this would show up on the PlayStation 5 as well as the Series X and on the PC and even potentially on the Switch. You know what I'm saying? So I don't see Bethesda for themselves negotiating an exclusive Xbox deal. Now, again, as people have pointed out on social media, sure, Xbox could come in and renegotiate the deal. Not saying that's impossible to happen, but we'll just have to see. You and I both agree, we don't think it's necessarily going to happen. Mm-hmm. Let me say this, though, before we continue into this, because let's just talk about exclusives and all that, because I noticed I've been catching it on Twitter because people apparently don't know how to freaking read. Mm-hmm. I am 100% against exclusives as a consumer. I think games should be on every freaking platform possible as a consumer. But from a business standpoint, exclusives are what Xbox, PlayStation, and Nintendo use as an incentive to get you to invest in their ecosystem. So they are a necessary evil that will always happen, right? But you should not be celebrating exclusive games for your own enjoyment. You know what I'm saying? I shouldn't be happy that a game is exclusive to Xbox as if that helps my enjoyment of the game. You enjoy the game because the game is great, right? Not because it's exclusive to Xbox or exclusive to PlayStation or whatever. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's just one thing that I see out there that has started this whole, you know, silly gaming nonsense on social media this morning about this. Xbox people, yeah, I hope it's exclusive. Yeah. And then PlayStation people mad, blah, blah, blah. It's like, dude, we're gamers. Just be a gamer. Mm-hmm. If it's exclusive, it is what it is. If it isn't, great. That's what I say, because that means everyone gets to play it. And that's how it should be. And if anything, since we're bringing the whole Xbox thing and acquiring Bethesda, you should be glad that potentially an Xbox games studio, I'm screwing it up, but a studio under Xbox is making a game that could show up on the PlayStation 5. You said, it's no rules. Things are changing. That should be a good thing.
Things are changing. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that would be a great way to get people to subscribe to Xbox Game Pass, because, man, they have a choice. Pay $60 on PlayStation or pay a monthly fee, and even if it's like a dollar 30-day trial, you could play that game for like a month and move on. Play on your phone, play on any multiple devices. So that's the good thing, man. Competition is good, man.
No, 100%
I love this. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But I think this is good, man. I'm excited for the future now. Now, here's the crazy thing, Pirates. Did you know, when you watch the interview that Larry Larry Heard, Major Nelson, had on his podcast with Phil Spencer, Tom Howard, and P. Hines.
Yes.
When they were talking about the announcement. It was in the background.
No, it
Tom
wasn't.
Tom Howard.
He debunked it. He said no.
Oh,
he said no.
It looked like it was. Yeah,
I know. I thought so too. But Todd Howard debunked it and said no, that wasn't the case. So just a happy coincidence, I guess.
Well, I was going to say it was just one of the statues from Indiana Jones. That's what we all thought. But yeah. Because it was Jez from Windows Central. He was the one that posted that. I was like, is that what? So it's been in the background the whole time. We didn't even notice.
You know?
But yeah, it's cool. Yeah, it's cool. But yeah, look, I see this as a good thing. I think that's great to see more announcements. And look, this game is not going to come out like in 2 years or so. Maybe 3 years, I think, is going to come out. You know, but I'm excited. And I'm excited as Machine Games, man, because they made some great Wolfenstein. Yeah, the Wolfenstein series.
Which concerns me now, by the way.
Wait, why it concerns you?
Because I was saying last episode, I was thinking Wolfenstein 3 would be coming out this year. I hope they're still working on Wolfenstein, and then maybe there's two teams. They're going to finish Wolfenstein, and then obviously there's the Indiana Jones team, and then they'll just go full development. I hope that's the case. I would hope this doesn't get in the way of another Wolfenstein. That's all. That's all I'm saying on that. But I mean, we'll obviously see.
I'm not worried about that, because there is studios, example, like Obsidian, that has multiple projects,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
There's Playground Games that have multiple projects like Fable, and also maybe a potential new Horizon game from Forza Horizon game. You know, so you shouldn't be worried about that stuff, man. I think we'll be fine. I think we'll be fine when it comes to that stuff. Now, here's the thing, Paris. We had this conversation, and I don't know if we mentioned this on the podcast. I can't remember exactly, but we had this full conversation about when do we think certain games is coming out from Bethesda that makes sense for the company, right? For the publisher. So we said potentially maybe an announcement that's official now with Xbox and Bethesda. Spring, I thought it was going to be summer, but you said spring, right? The papers, the final papers.
Yeah, so because we talked about it a little bit on the podcast. So basically at any point from February until June, that deal can be finalized.
Okay, so it could be spring, it could be May, June, summertime, whatever. Mm-hmm. So, all right, so that's cool. So I thought that Starfield might be the first game to coming out at the end of the year, maybe potentially October, and then November will be Halo Infinite, right? You're saying that Wolfenstein might be the first. Why do you think?
Well, and actually playing up on what we were just talking about, and obviously this announcement with Indiana Jones, it would kind of make sense, because if Wolfenstein 3, for all intents and purposes, is quote unquote done, then you get that out now. So then the entire Machine Game studio can now focus on making Indiana Jones. Because like I said, we're probably not going to see that game in what, like 2023, something like that. It's going to be a while on it. So it's almost like Machine Games has been working on something, even, you know, since Wolfenstein 2, and even when they did Wolfenstein Youngblood. I think they did Youngblood, or it might have been another studio. Anyways, they've been working on something, and the timeline makes sense that Wolfenstein 3 is out this year. So that would allow Machine Games to ship this game and immediately jump on the next one, you know, with Lucasfilm Games, and they can go off and do their thing. So I still stick to my guns that Wolfenstein 3 is most likely the next big Bethesda game to come this year. And with Starfield, obviously, potentially, you know, being the next one. And then, you know, Elder Scrolls and Fallout 5 and all that is way down the line. So we'll see in whatever they do with Quake and Rage and the rest of them.
Now, my question to you, because today I watched a trailer from Netflix that they're having a movie every week, a brand new movie exclusively for Netflix for the whole year. Another thing too, Disney Plus is going to have a brand new series, especially for Marvel, and then at the end of the year, it's going to be Star Wars, right? But the whole year there's going to be new content every single time. So that's from the movie side. Now when it comes to the game side, you know, Nintendo did that during the launch of the Switch. Every month there was an exclusive first party game, either a game that came out for the Wii U or a brand new game that is just brand new for the Switch, right? Now, with so many studios that's under the umbrella of Xbox, Do you think this is going to be the year that we're going to see new exclusive games? It doesn't matter if it's third party, AAA, AA, and so on, that we might see almost every month. Not now, but I think maybe later the year, maybe after the summer, we're probably going to start seeing that. Because there's so many studios. So those studios could be working on multiple projects. So what are the chances of that, of us seeing that this year in 2021?
I like your thinking on that. I think COVID plays a factor in this still, to where I think that's more likely in 2022 than it is in 2021. I do see the back end of 2021 being pretty stacked with games, like we've already talked about on the last episode. But I just think with COVID, these studios are probably so behind. We've already seen so many delays. I don't think we're just going to see that steady stream of content, even like from June all the way to the end of the year. I think you're more likely to start seeing things, you know, really just the holiday season, as it always is, you know, from August until the end of the year, you know, with, like you said, a blend of AAA and indie games and stuff like that. But I think the bigger thing, since we're just talking Xbox specific, the amount of studios that we know that they now have, and we know they're working on certain things. Once you get into 2022 and beyond, there's almost no excuse, right? I mean, there should be, and I'm not going to say every month, that'd be pretty bold, but there just should be just this a steady stream of quality titles coming out from Xbox Game Studios at that point. I mean, we saw that in the prime of the PlayStation 4 with PlayStation. They were able to do something similar. So, again, as a gamer, be freaking excited, man. That's the way I look at it.
No, this is dope.
Because really we're going to get a ton of games, and that's a good thing from some quality studios.
Now, here's a question, and I thought about this too, Paris. So, I noticed how Lucasfilm Games announced, hey, we're gonna bring this back, because remember, there was years that there was nothing from Lucasfilm Games. It was shut down completely, right? And now it's coming back now with this whole Indiana Jones. Do you still see EA releasing Star Wars content? There was a couple years that was like, it was really tough for EA, because a lot of bad reviews, and let's be real, I don't see Disney happy about that.
No,
you know, but it's good for Disney to start working with other studios if they want to make great content. You know what I'm saying? So,
well, and now, that's the whole point of this Lucas. I keep screwing it up, but Lucasfilm Games is take this thing away from EA. Not to say like Respawn can't continue to make Jedi Fallen Order, but allow other talented studios out there in the industry that have these creative ideas that can use their IPs in a great way. Like, good friend of mine, Legacy Killer HD, has his YouTube channel, always putting up content. He had tweeted something the other day that I thought about it. I go, yeah, he's right. Why don't we have an open world Star Wars game right now, in the vein of like The Witcher 3 or Grand Theft Auto or something like that? You know what I'm saying? Or Assassin's Creed Valhalla. Why does that not exist? EA has had this IP that long and hasn't done something like that. And I'm not necessarily saying that's the only type of Star Wars game to be made, but come on, really? You haven't done something like that. Where's my KOTOR successor? There's so many different things they could do in the Star Wars universe that EA has literally just put out. I'm just going to call it for what it is. Half-assed Battlefront games. And thank God Respawn gave us Jedi Fallen Order, so we got something. But they've literally wasted that world and that universe and those characters that we could have been exploring this entire last generation. We should have been getting stuff and we didn't get it.
Well, there is the New Republic game. It is an open world, but that's an MMO. You're talking about more Witcher 3 open world, Zelda.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. You're New Republic. No, you're thinking that's oh my God, like World of Warcraft. I'm not talking about that. No. I'm talking like The Witcher 3 or Assassin's Creed Valhalla or Cyberpunk. I'm talking something like that. Where's that game? Mm-hmm. You know? And obviously, dude, we obviously see this stuff. Okay, again, I don't know, not to make this a crapping on EA thing, but why in the hell is there not a Mandalorian game right now? And it doesn't necessarily have to be Mando, but a game that is exploring the Mandalorians. Right, dude, that post-Return of the Jedi world, Grand Admiral Thrawn, there's so much crap they could be doing right now with Star Wars that they've just wasted time on. It'd be perfect to be putting that out. Like, dude, think about it. And again, spoilers, if you haven't seen The Mandalorian, skip ahead like 3 minutes. We get freaking Luke. Gosh darn Skywalker at the end of The Mandalorian. You get the Book of Boba Fett that Boba Fett is literally taking over Jabba's palace in Tatooine. You trying to tell me there ain't, it shouldn't be a game that came out this holiday ready to take advantage of that? Come on.
Yeah.
Man, that, yeah. This is why you have Lucasfilm games, because it's very clear the executives looked at this and go, what the hell are we doing? No. We got to fix this. We have to take advantage of all our intellectual property in gaming and use it to its full advantage.
Yeah. I'm excited. I'm excited for the future for Lucasfilm games. Man, I got to get used to that name.
Yeah.
You know, now, but in the past, they had a lot of Star Wars games. But remember the Super NES, Genesis?
But they weren't good. But they weren't that good. It was tough. That's the balance. That's the balance. Yeah. We're screaming we want all these Star Wars games, but the ones that we got like, you know, over a decade ago weren't that great. So that was part of the reason, hey, we're gonna shutter the Disney studios and we're gonna give it to EA, because EA was supposed to give us these quality AAA experiences, but they didn't. And I think that's the balance of why they're doing it this way now, where let's give certain IP strategically to certain studios that we know can do something with it. And again, taking the example that we got right now, Indiana Jones going to Machine Games, who has proven themselves to make these freaking Wolfenstein games that are fan effing tastic, and you get to punch Nazis in the face. What studio in the world is better to make a game where you get to punch Nazis in the face? It's Machine Games. Give them Indiana Jones and let them do it all over again. It's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think a game like Assassin's Creed, you want something like that? Like, say Ubisoft work on a game. Like, do you think that makes sense? Because Assassin's Creed...
Think about it.
Lost Odyssey. I think that would be cool. Star Wars vibe like that.
Doesn't have to be The Mandalorian. It doesn't have to be Boba Fett.
No.
A bounty hunter game in the style of Assassin's Creed. Oh, mm-hmm. I'm in.
It'll be sick. Yeah, it'll be
Give
sick.
It to me. That's what I'm saying. Again, you can make... we already got Jedi Fallen Order. So we see there is still and excitement in this world. You make a proper Rogue Squadron game. We obviously got that from EA. That was good, but there's just so much more potential. Like I keep saying, tell me a Grand Admiral Thrawn game. Give me that. I'm in. Tell it from his point of view, not the Rebels' point of view. Tell it from the Empire. Dude, I'm in. There's so many different things that they could do with Star Wars. And again, this is why, you know, I'm glad to see this Lucas... it's so hard to say his name. Lucasfilm Games come into existence.
We're both having a hard time. Yeah, that would be so sick. But here's another thing, though, Paris, and this is the reason why Battlefront, especially the first one. Now, and I'll mention this story: what happened to me a couple years ago. So, years ago, EA invited me to go to Stockholm, and I went to the DICE studio, and I got to see Star Wars Battlefront, and this was right before they even show the announcement, they show the trailer. We were there early. Only 20 of us got flown over there. And we got to see the game. And I'm excited, right? So I'm like, oh, man. Okay. All right, man. I can't wait to see the story. There was no story in the first Star Wars game. So we gave that feedback to EA. I'm like, please add a story. Because here's the thing that... It reminds me of back in the days when every company, every studio was making games and they were adding multiplayer. I want a single player experience when it comes to Star Wars. And I hope Indiana Jones is just a single player campaign, right? It doesn't have to be multiplayer. There is a MMO. Okay, that's fine. But think about it. The best Star Wars that I played, best Star Wars games, Knights of the Republic, single player campaign. The Respawn game. Single player campaign. I want that type of experience. Even Battlefront 2, the story was decent. The story, not the multiplayer. The story was pretty decent, but I don't know why companies are still adding multiplayer in all these games, man. It doesn't have to, man. You know what I'm saying? So,
now,
go ahead.
I, just going on that, I can think of two more games. One of them, maybe not, but hell, Disney owns them all anyway, so they could do it. This could also come from Lucasfilm Games. Number one, a Willow game. Again, set it in that fantasy world, open world, all that. You could totally do a Willow game. And they're bringing Willow back on Disney Plus, so it makes sense. Howard the Duck. You could do it.
You know, I was thinking about that today.
I mean, Howard kind of lives in Lucasfilm and in Marvel, but screw it. You could do it. You could do a Howard the Duck story. Tell that in the Guardians of the Galaxy universe. There's so much potential there with these IPs if they so choose to do something creative with them that isn't just the same cookie cutter crap that we've been getting year after year. We could get something with new, unique characters, tell different stories that we haven't seen before. That's the potential of what Lucasfilm Games could do with all their IPs, along with Star Wars, obviously.
Yeah, and here's another game that I felt had potential. Story was great. Multiplayer, meh. And this is not a Lucas game. This is a Marvel game, Marvel's Avengers. A huge mistake for releasing a game like that, thinking it was going to be like Destiny and people going to go back and play it. It was a flop. So multiplayer games is a very difficult thing to do, especially like a live service like Destiny. That's hard to keep up, man. And continue adding content, especially a game like that. So I don't want to see a game like that from Lucasfilm Games. I don't. I just want to get that single player experience, man, and just have Easter eggs and stories that's involved with maybe with content from Disney Plus and movies and, you know, part of the Star Wars universe. I think they should continue creating content like that, man, so we could get excited. Because I don't know if you played the Respawn game, Paris. That story is fantastic. One of the best Star Wars
games. We're talking about Jedi Fallen Order.
Jedi Fallen Order.
Yep. Hey, which, by the way, to pause on that, you see they came out with Series X and PlayStation 5 upgrades to Jedi Fallen Order. So now you can play it in 60 frames. So, again, dude, and it's on Game Pass if you have Game Pass. So you can play it on there too. But, I agree with you. There's a lot of compelling content and stories that can be told in the Star Wars universe that I just feel like has been wasted the past decade. I mean, yeah, the Star Wars Lego games have been great. They play in for comedy more than anything, but a serious AAA title in the Star Wars universe has just quite honestly been lacking. And I don't count Battlefront because I thought both of them were terrible, but that's just me.
Yeah. Do you see more announcement coming up later this year from Lucasfilm Games? Yeah,
I do. I think 2021 they're coming out, and not that these games are coming this year or anything. I think they're far out, but I think this is just the first of many, because if they're getting Indiana Jones out of the way right now, what the hell are they going to do with Star Wars? You know, that's coming. And look, high chance there's a Mandalorian-esque game that's going to get announced by someone's going to be working on it, doing something. High chance we're getting a sequel to Jedi Fallen Order. Like I said, it would not shock me for them to do something that's more open world in the Star Wars universe. Rogue Squadron actually was pretty good, so I could see them, you know, adding more content to that as well. So there's a lot of stuff that they can do, and I'm sure EA is still going to be involved, you're going to see other publishers and studios involved too. And that's a good thing. I don't see anything wrong with that at all. It excites me more than anything.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for the future. And I just started following the official Lucasfilm Games Twitter account just to get more of the announcements. You know, I just want to get ready, man, because I think it's going to be good, man. And look, they have the content, man. They have the content. Now is working with the right studio that makes sense and release it to the public and release it different platforms. And look, as a Star Wars fan, I'm excited to see what other type of games they're going to release in the future. Because look, I want an official RPG game. Knights of the Republic to me is one of my favorite Star Wars games ever made. The story was even better than the first trilogy when the prequels of the trilogy. Remember that it came out years ago? That game has a better story than those three, in my opinion. It was that good. You know, I know part two came out, but that was from Obsidian worked on that, I believe, right? Part two of Knights of the Old Republic?
Yeah, they did.
It was okay. It wasn't that bad. It was okay. But man, the first Knights of the Old Republic, oof, you know? So anything else, Paris, when it comes to that? Anything else?
It's funny, like, as you listen to us talk about this, going back to the whole original topic of, you know, Bethesda Machine Games doing this, would it be Xbox exclusive and all that? As we're talking, why in the hell would Lucas want it to be exclusive to one platform? Wouldn't you want all these Star Wars games to get played, and even Indiana Jones get played by everyone? Of course they're going to want this thing to show up on a PlayStation 5. There's no way. I will double down on that. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'm probably going to be wrong about so much this year anyways. But so I'm going to stick on that one. There's no way Indiana Jones is going to be exclusive to Xbox. No. I don't see it.
The only thing, and we said it earlier, is that this is going to be on Game Pass. That's the only exclusive thing that Power Xbox will get from this. But which is good, because, hey, it will promote the service even more. More reasons to have the service. You know what I'm saying? So,
oh, one thing we forgot to, because again, just what everybody was screaming on Twitter. Everyone was loving, kept bringing up Spider-Man. Well, PlayStation got exclusive, so that means Xbox will get that exclusive. Dude, you have no idea what type of deals are being made behind the scenes for all that kind of stuff. Yes, Sony owns the film rights. They don't own the game rights. But you don't know what was negotiated with this whole Marvel sharing agreement and all that. That might have been a part of it. Well, you got to give Insomniac make Spider-Man and make it exclusive. Obviously, we saw the Avengers game. Spider-Man was exclusive on the PlayStation. You never know what's negotiated. So you can't look at one thing and automatically assume that also applies to another one, because it's business. It's money. Deals are negotiated all the time. So again, unless Xbox is going to go in and actually throw more money at the situation and negotiate something with Disney to get Indiana Jones exclusive, I just don't see it. I really don't. I don't think you can look at Spider-Man and apply that same analogy to what potentially Xbox would do in Indiana Jones.
People are going to say this, Paris. They're like, oh, but wait, so that means Starfield is also going to be multi-plat and so on, Fallout and so on. So if that game is not exclusive, then all those games are going to come up for every single platform. So what is the difference? People are going to say that.
Here's my hope for 2021. And I'm just going to say it out to the universe. I'm going to say it on video. We might have to clip this, put it on Twitter, more people see it. Say this to the universe. When the Bethesda deal is final, when it is 100% an Xbox, you know, they own it and they can freely talk about it and all that. My hope is when they're ready to talk, we can get Matt Booty on this podcast and ask these questions. Not that they got to reveal things, but let's talk about how they're going to handle the exclusivity. What is a case-by-case basis? All that stuff. Because I think that's a very important thing Xbox should do right away, is explain how they're going to handle Bethesda moving forward so people can set expectations accordingly. I think that's fair. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, if we're going to get Fallout, Elder Scrolls, and Starfield, if we can only play those on Xbox platforms, talk about that right away. Let people know right away. Don't play secrets and no cute marketing and all that. Just say it. But if that's not the case, say that too. So people that are on PlayStation can have an expectation that these big IPs will show up there. That's all. I would love to have that conversation and just understand their philosophy on this acquisition and how they plan to use it moving forward.
Mm-hmm. And right there, promote Game Pass with it, with that announcement. Only on Game Pass or something like that, you know? So, yeah. It's good. I think this was a great conversation, man. This was like super last minute. You know, I woke up today. I'm like, oh, let me check out Twitter and everything. And then I see, but that's the trailer. I'm like, oh, snap.
Yeah.
This is huge. We got to talk about it. So I hit up Paris. Hey, let's have a emergency podcast. This happens once in a blue moon, you know what I'm saying? So I hope we could do more of this in 2021, Paris.
So one last thing, I'm gonna break the fourth wall, because since Mandy wants to be a smart butt in the chat, she goes, well, what if it is a case-by-case basis? Now what? This is what I say. That's not good enough to say that. Seriously, I don't think Xbox should just get away with saying, oh, it's a case-by-case basis. What does that mean? What does a case-by-case basis mean? So you're telling me Starfield, you're going to consider putting it on a PlayStation 5 individually compared to some AA game that Bethesda potentially could make? Is that truly a case-by-case basis? You know, clarify. Again, so your consumers can actually understand and set expectations accordingly. That's all.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Okay. All right. I think we're going to find out more about this later this year. Right now, we just look. There's certain things that Microsoft can't say because the paperwork is not done. It's not 100% yet. Once it's 100%, then when it makes sense, that's when they're going to start talking. But like, I know you mentioned Matt Booty, Paris, but I really doubt once the papers are signed, okay, they're going to come to the show and be like, okay, so this game is going to come out exclusive. No, this game is not. Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, of course it's not going to happen. The ink. All right, we're going on Gamer Tag Radio. Let's talk about this. No. I mean, you know, like obviously whenever they're marketing, you know, whenever the time is right, I would expect, let's put it this way. I would expect whatever they do to replace E3 this year and have their big blowout announcements, by then they're going to own Bethesda, right? So they're going to have some kind of announcement during that reveal. And maybe they clarify it all right then and there. But if they don't, it'd be really nice when, because remember, like last year, we interviewed Aaron Greenberg, stuff like that. It'd be nice after that event, then we could interview a Matt Booty. Again, I'm really pushing Matt Booty. I want to talk to Matt Booty.
Yeah, let's go Matt Booty. Let's make it happen.
To have a Matt Booty do the media circuit and start talking to us and basically deep dive into expectations and their plans for Xbox Game Studios and how Bethesda is going to integrate into that. That's all I'm saying. I would love to have that conversation. And I think to their consumers, it's one they owe, right? Like, I think they've been so aggressive with acquiring all these studios. Okay, lay out the roadmap for what the hell you're going to do with all of them. Let us know. That's all.
Mm-hmm. No, I totally agree. Totally agree. And hopefully we'll talk more once we hear more announcements. And look, who knows what's going to happen from now to the end of the week. There might be more announcements of random things. So if that happens, we're going to talk about it in the next episode because, you know, I think this was cool to, you know, bring back the emergency podcast and, you know, record this and everything.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So anything else, Paris, before we wrap it up?
I think that's it, man.
Yeah. And if you agree or disagree, hit us up. Hit up Paris on Twitter. Hit me up on Twitter. Or, you know, send us a voicemail and we'll play on the podcast and tell us, do you think it's going to be exclusive or not and why? Make it short, less than 30 seconds or so. I think that would be perfect, right? All right, so we're going to wrap it up here. Thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio. Make sure to listen to our past episodes. You can find us on any podcast app. All you have to do is just search for Gamertag Radio. Follow us, subscribe, or even post a review. That will help us out a lot. And share with your friends. Tell people about our show. That would be really, really cool if you could do that too, man. Also, if you would like to be part of our fan mail segment or episode, here's how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Powers, you were going to say something?
No.
Oh, okay, you were laughing.
So I'm just reading the chat.
Oh, okay. See? Breaking the fourth wall. All right, so we're going to wrap it up here. Thank you for listening. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.